Namo myoho renge kyo. Hello, friends. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your practice. I added another term. And I've updated the ebook. Momentum. Momentum. You would think talking about moments, talking about moment to moment, covered momentum. It's all over this book. It's all over the videos talking about momentum. But what really, writing about it in the early morning hours this morning, I discovered that it really opened up an opportunity for me to nail down a common, I wouldn't say outright It's something that confounds the practitioner about karma. This idea that there's Ichinen Sanzen, right? This major ball of karma. And then there's me. There's Sylvain karma. There's Bob karma. There's Betty karma. That's her karma. That's his karma. What are we saying? It's like we're saying there are different types, divisions. Well, that's all incorrect. And it's a problem of language. And so we'll get into that a little bit. It's very much part of our understanding of momentum, karma. And I want to take a little deviation here because I think it relates, but I had a discussion this morning with my main editor on the book, and she's reading way ahead of it. Well, not way ahead of us. We're in the M's right now. We're about to finish the M's. And she was reading the Nidana, the 12-length causal chain. And she brought up a really relevant question, and it pertains to this momentum. And you've heard me talk about cultures and language and ad nauseum throughout these hundreds and hundreds of videos on this channel, some of which I realize I was using an older rhetoric and not really delving deep. This is part of the reason for this book. Is I want to uncluster the language problem as far as I am able. So here we are again. Momentum. It's a word we hear all the time. But in the context of our Buddhist practice, it has a very a comprehensive meaning to us as Buddhists that non-Buddhists would have trouble relating to. That's part of our propagation, right? That enlightenment. Anyway, the word that came up in the Nidana, and you have to understand. All right, here I go again. Buddhist teachings started with Siddhartha's enlightenment. And his enlightenment, then calling him Shakyamuni, the great sage of the Shakya clan, Shakyamuni, his audience was ancient, right? Almost 3,000 years ago, ancient Indian, Hindu, mired in magic and mysticism and blah, blah, blah. This idea of reincarnation, of eternity. If you're from a culture, an indigenous peoples, South America, Mexican, Chinese, any Asian culture, you're not unaccustomed to this idea of eternity because you respect and pray and revere your ancestral lines, right? Even in the United States, there's genealogical fans, right? Look at the Mormons. They're obsessed with their ancestry, right? They want to know who from the original Adam and Eve, they belong to what tribe and so forth. I mean, this is very much a preoccupation of human beings, right? And they develop their whole idea of language around it. That's why cultures... When translations were being made from the Gandhara scrolls and other sources from all these different languages, Pali, and I don't know if there were any in Prakrit, that was a verbal That's how Shakyamuni taught, through Prakrit, right? But there were different versions of Sanskrit. And then, you know, like Kumarajiva's translations into Chinese for China to learn Buddhism. He had to contend with languages from India that had concepts in them that the Chinese didn't have calligraphy for. Notice I said calligraphy, not words. So he had to work with the Chinese to develop calligraphy to conceive of these concepts coming from the Indian languages and their... And remember, Indian languages weren't just, again, words, but they were inflections. They were more of a song, right? We still honor that in our practice of chanting, right? We sing. Chanting is singing when we recite the Lotus Sutra or the Daimoku, right? We're singing it. The voice is Buddha, right? We invoke, we instantiate that awakening, that awareness. How do you write that in words? Not easy. With calligraphy, you can indicate it, and it's a broad understanding of a concept. But by the time you get into these Western translations, English, French, Italian, so on and so forth, now you're stuck with really words, right? And you try to build concept with many words. And there's a lot of room for error there, for miscommunication. I do it myself. I'm constantly correcting myself. That's the main reason for this book finally coming to fruition. And the word that Sandra brought up this morning was eternity. Eternal self. What the hell is that? Exactly. It doesn't suit our modern understanding of Buddhism. So what is that about? Well, if you look under the term death in this book, you'll see that. And the reason I brought up indigenous peoples is because you respect 400 years of ancestry, if not more. You keep, in other words, keep alive your understanding, your karmic influence, your mind of that person, albeit, you know, 400 years ago, you have no idea who that person was, but you know what they represent in your ancestry, in your life. So you inculcate an aspect that you're taught through your relatives of who that person was. Now, that is an understanding of eternity that's far away from the idea of a corporal, like a soul, what do the Tibetans say? Some very subtle, they use the word subtle. Dalai Lama says subtle. What? If not soul, what? Some bag of Bob, some box of Betty, that then at some point, what, if it's suffered enough? This is religious thinking. This is just magical fantasies, like Santa Claus, that you'll reconstitute into human form or a duck or whatever. It's nonsense. What does make sense, though, with respect, is that my sister died in 1986. And I still, to this day, have some sensations of her memory. But that's not her. She's not coming back. But I maintain in my karmic flow, right, my amalgam of influences, some residual recollections of the impact she had on my life. I will go so far as to say they're not only not real, but they're not representative of the actual impact she had on my life. They're just some fanciful fantasy recollections that I maintain about her. So in a consciousness sense, there is a very long-standing, and if I were to explain my sister to you, I would re-enliven some of those recollections and I would make them more, quote, alive in my mind. I would maintain her. I would make her persist, albeit through my own impression of her, not her. It's pretty vain when you think about it, egotistical to think that I can tell you about my sister so you can know her. No, you'll never know her. You'll know my impressions of her, however inaccurate they may be. You'll know me better. You won't know Diane at all, except maybe some physical characteristics as close as they might be. Right? This falls apart very easily. But as human beings, we're so deathly afraid, that's a funny pun, of death. This idea of afterlife, it's so nonsensical. Buddha didn't even address it. He said, come on. What do you mean, if Santa was real? Come on. He wouldn't even, right? But in a real, quote-unquote, sense, we carry with us the influence of those people. And through storytelling, we can keep that story alive. But that's not the person. So in that sense, you could say, well, the word eternal isn't about a corporeal, physical, right? It's about a remembrance, an affect. But I think at this point in our modern practice of Buddhism, we either need to be very specific about pointing that out or just get rid of that term altogether. Because it's too confusing, it's too misleading. And when I get to that chapter in this book, I will endeavor to clean that up. However, since I've mentioned Julius Evola's book, The Doctrine of Awakening, many times throughout several videos, I really enjoyed reading an early 20th century, or it might be 19th, late 19th, early, I think it was early 20th. This Italian researcher was poring over the Pali texts of early Buddhist teachings. That's key, because you have to understand the audience for this teaching. Not only that, because these teachings were spread verbally for hundreds of years, when they finally came to translate them, what do you think happened? People that were, to this day, people are attached, enamored, refusing to let go of this idea of afterlife. So when they write down these terms, they don't think to revise their thinking. They just put the words on the page. And by the time you get to Western translations, English, Italian, French, so on, even Japanese, I know that's not Western, but even those translations, very, quote, spiritual people, right? They want to die honorably because they're concerned about the lasting impressions after they're gone. This is a human, well, what Shakyamuni would call a dis-ease. So, yeah, I will fix that when I get to it. So don't be disheartened or confused, please. How does that relate to momentum? Well, let's get into it. Let me open up my document here. And I will say that if you really understand karma, because that's what momentum is, my friends, you will be disabused of this idea of eternity and afterlife. It's just, It's confusing, I understand. But let's get to this. This is what I wrote this morning, and hopefully I won't find too many typo. All right. According to the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, 5th edition, momentum is a noun. Number one, first definition, a quantity used to measure the motion of a body, equal to the product of the body's mass and its velocity. Now chew on that for a moment, but you can insert, as I do, Buddhist terminology in here, and it totally makes sense. And I'll point that out in a minute. The second definition they offer, the force or energy exhibited by a moving body. Wow. Oh, that's so good. Third, the driving force or advancing strength of a development or course of events. Oh, man, I love it. Let's just take that last one apart for a moment. Didn't mean that. The driving force. What is a driving force? Isn't that momentum itself? What's moving this along? In Buddhism, formations. From quiescent energy, formations, there's action, there's work, ending up in something, body, right? The driving force or advancing strength, because it amalgamates, right? We're not just one formation. Our formation, quote unquote, here's the language problem, is an amalgam of innumerable formations, all the way down to quarks. The driving force or advancing strength of a development, we're developing, amalgamating, or course of events. Every instantiation is an event. A course of events means there's a chain reaction. The 12-linked causal chain, Nidana. From the very get-go, Shakyamuni was talking about momentum. He used the word karma, but he was talking about momentum. What an aha moment, yeah? For modern Buddhists, the above definitions relate directly to our understandings of the engine of life. In our terminology, it is the measure of the formations of form from the quiescence of energy. The, quote, moving body of physics is the form, quote unquote, of Buddhism. It's so straightforward, yeah? No mysticism here. For our understanding of momentum, it is also essential to grasp that this is the action of karma. So much confusion about that word, and we've already gone through it in this book, karma. Shakyamuni used the term karma as the identifier of momentum in our experience of life. Karma as the progenitor of all formations leading to being, quote unquote, as well as integrated into each moment of being as a constant engagement. Ooh, that's a big one. You may have to reread that sentence a few times, but I'll get into it here. Right? Because we're told all the time, and I've talked about it, these two definitions of karma, Ichin and Sanzen, which is the 3,000 realms in a single thought moment. There's that karma. And then there's John karma and Sylvain karma and, you know, Alicia karma. But that's the problem with language. It's really Sylvain's influence of karma and the karma that Sylvain is instantiating as a microcosm, we use that word all the time, of the entire universe. Right? Karma is karma. It's all of it. But we, in our small little speck of existence, are instantiating an aspect of that karma, and we interact with that aspect of karma. So it's our influence that we experience from it and to it. So there's no two types of karma. There's just karma and the way you interact with it, engage with it. That's yours. But it's only yours in the sense that you're experiencing karma. So let's go on. In the lifespan chapter, the lifespan of the Tathagata chapter of the Lotus Sutra, which Nichiren talks about all the time, we often miss this lesson. Shakyamuni's elucidation of Buddha, what Buddha is, not him, but as a pre-existing condition of all life without beginning, was a twofold definition of karma and momentum. Same thing. Remember when he said, Buddha's been around since time without beginning? I am not Buddha. Buddha is a state, a condition. To begin life from universe to human was the initial formations of all form, right? Quiescent energy, no form. And then formation. And then this huge chain reactions, right? Physicists, cosmologists, they call it the Big Bang or the inflationary period, on and on, right? All of us come from that. You and I today come from that. You make a baby, it comes from that. How can it not? There's a chain of events that goes all the way back to that instantial moment. Probably just made up a word there. This initial formation from energy is the beginning of karma or momentum. Naming these primordial formations and forms, particles or seeds or bodies or atoms or instantiations and so on, they are all our physical history of karma leading to our eventual human development. Right? This confronts our idea of self and other, duality. That's a mental perception. The truth is we're all of that same thing. Things. This is the concept Nichiren refers to as Ichin and Sanzen, or Tendai's 3,000 realms in a single thought moment of life. In other words, every moment is filled with the potential of everything. It's only guided by previous moments, the parameters. And how you engage and influence those parameters is only available through your sentient mind. Otherwise, it just goes on doing what it does. Karma going to karma. Momentum going to momentum. This aspect of formations continues within each individual amalgam of formations, such as planets. That's supposed to say trees, but it says tress. So, typo. Trees, stars, and all living forms that manifest of this immense potential of karma or formations. Human beings have the distinct added facility to witness and interact with this potential through the mechanism of karma or the momentum of the formations. With our sentient mind, humans can observe the process of karma as it marches through time. Crucially, though, Shakyamuni pointed out that it is this very awareness that provides the opportunity for us to interact, influence, and revere this process to guide and realize our full potential as constantly forming beings, moment to moment, moment to moment, cycle of birth and death, right? Birth, death, birth, death, birth, death. Moment, moment, moment. Instantiation, instantiate, right? This awareness, Buddha, is both of the immensity of the momentum of karma from beginningless time within each of our lives, but also the brief time we have of sentience, awareness, to interact with it. This effort requires constant and focused awareness. This requires training and practice. Namo Myōden Gekyo. That is what we're doing. Do I need to add more verbiage to this definition, or is that enough? I could add references to other parts of the book, but I think you get it. Right, I've bolded sentient mind, I've bolded awareness, I've bolded ichin and sansas, I've bolded being and karma and momentum, and I've bolded engine of life, that's a biggie. You see all these terms, they all work together when you understand them for what they are. Don't get mystical about this, right? When my mother passes away, she will be extinct. There will be no more Micheline. That's her name. There'll be no more of her. Except in the lives of the people she touched, influenced, interacted with. In our minds, those who've interacted with her, and now because I'm talking about her, you as well, will have formed some kind of impression. And as long as that impression, whatever it is, right or wrong or otherwise, will be a form of her continued influence, karma. And over time, it will fade away because she's not there to replenish it. She's gone. How long will she continue to influence me? That's my decision, isn't it? That's a function of my engagement with my own karma. That doesn't make her eternal. Do you see? Momentum. Once the ball stops rolling, it stops rolling. It stops being a rolling ball. And then it's just going to decay and dissolve where it is. It's done. Namo Myōden Gekyo. Thank you for listening. I hope this helps. I still have a lot of work to do. We're only in the M's. We're about to finish them, but there's some pretty heavy terms coming up. So hang on. And it's obviously, I still need to do some editing. So the print book, it's a little while away. But I'm keeping the electronic book, the e-book, alive, so that you at least have a reference and maybe something to ask questions of, so that when I get to those terms, I can do some deep dives and clarifications, yeah? The book is very useful now, just as a framework for you to understand your practice of Buddhism. That's why I went ahead and published it. But, yeah, at some point, when we get to the last terms in this book, I will have, finished this book. And all of you who have already purchased copies of this book electronically, let me know. Show me your email or whatever of your receipt, and I'll send you free of charge a brand new, fully edited version of the ebook, right? I don't want you to have to buy it again. But I realize how useful a tool this is. That's why I published it early. But just know that your efforts are not going to waste, is what I'm saying, okay? All right. Thank you for your support. Like and subscribe. Only takes a moment. Several moments. A few seconds. But it's really important as a bodhisattva effort, right? Because it works with the YouTube algorithms to make us easier to find. And that's what this resource, the threefoldlotus.com website is about, where you can find the ebooks as well as lots of free material there. I just added something on there. What did I add? I think I talked about it last time. Can't remember what it was. Anyway, I keep adding green buttons on that core study page for questions that come up that I think deserve, you know, a published document. Oh, it was about time and what is a second and what is a moment, actually. I was thinking this morning, there may be one of you out there who's very into this linguistics and language and study. I don't know if it falls under archaeology or what. But the study of language is fascinating. Had I one of my options of careers, I might have gotten into that. But this whole fascinated with how cultures reinterpret things to inculcate into their sphere of experience and how things morph over time, not just over time within a culture, but from culture to culture, yeah? We certainly deal with that in Buddhism. And I, for my fumbling little effort here as a Buddhist monk, trying desperately to clarify and make modern understanding of the intent, the message, the meaning of Shakyamuni's teaching, with tremendous help from Tendai and Nichiren, our modern, most modern mentor, yeah? So all of this resource, the website, the books, these videos, the free podcasts, they're all an effort to bolster, to propagate, to help create confidence and deep understanding of our practice. So in that regard, all of you patrons who donate monthly through Patreon and PayPal, as well as those who are just buying ebooks, for instance, tremendous support. I couldn't keep doing this without you guys. We live in a capitalist world, so everything costs money, right? I'm trying to provide as much as I can for as little as possible because your practice is preeminent here. But if you can somehow support this effort, it's so greatly appreciated by all of us, not just me. In the meantime, please take care of your health. Be kind to yourself, right? Keep your practice strong. And I will see you in the next one, all right? Bye for now.